Good morning, everybody. It is so good to be here to worship with God's people.
Amen.
So good. I was telling my friend Office, what a beautiful day today is. You know, what a beautiful day. Only God can make a day this beautiful. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. You know, you may not know this, but I was talking to God this past few days, and a lot of your names came up. And God had a lot of good things to say about you. You may be surprised, but he really did. A lot of good things to say about you. It's so good to be here. It must have been a day like today when God created everything. And he looked at it after. He said, this is great. This is great. Very good. Good to see my brother Albert here today. Good to see him. A lot of you didn't know Albert was my brother, right? I have a lot of brothers and sisters here, but always good to see Albert. Well, I better read this. This is taken from Acts 2, verses 14 through verses 18. And Peter addresses the crowd. And Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And in Acts 1, verses 4 through 7, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority.
Amen. Fast forward, past one of the most significant events in history, the resurrection. Fast forward to the time when the disciples stopped being afraid. They had run away and gone off by themselves. Fast forward to the time when Christ didn't give up on them. He found them and refocused them on what they had been called for. Fast forward to the time just before another significant event was about to occur, when Christ would ascend back to heaven. Fast forward to a meal with Christ and his disciples. Let's go to Acts, the first chapter, and the fourth verse. Fast forward to the time when Christ would sit and have a meal with them and instruct the disciples in preparation for the great event that was going to occur, a rather extraordinary, momentous event. Let's look at what he said in Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. What was this gift, this precious gift that the father was going to give them after Christ's departure? Let's move further and see a little more about this. He continues to speak to them. He said, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptized with the Holy Spirit? What's so significant about being baptized by the Holy Spirit? Is there something special? Is there something unique about the Holy Spirit that has not been explored before? Perhaps. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Now he's telling them about the Holy Spirit. They're changing the subject and ask him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of heaven at this time? Why that? Well, they had a concern. Their concern was still a bit physical. They were at this time under Roman subjugation, and they wanted to be free. They wanted to be from under that, the horrible taxes, the practices, and other things. And they knew from what they had learned already that if the kingdom of God was really established physically on this earth, they wouldn't have to endure all that stuff from the Romans. They would be free. So that's what they were concerned about. It was a rather diverse group of people. But listen to how Christ answered them. He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. How many times have I sat in congregations and heard speculation about when the kingdom of God was going to be set up? And I wonder, where are they going with this? The Bible doesn't tell anybody. It says nobody knows. But I remember blackboards being full of all kinds of illustrations. Christ said, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. And look at this. This is very significant. I think many people overlook this very important conclusion. Said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where they were. They were near that. They were at that area. But listen, he says, in Judea and Samaria. Well, now, that gets some interest because that's where the Gentiles lived. Also, and just in case they didn't understand, Christ further expanded, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, I want my gospel, I want my message to go where everybody is. I didn't create any worthless people. I didn't create any inferior people. I didn't create any people who are not worthy of salvation if they surrender to me. Go to all the world. God is a loving, caring, all opportunity God, all people God. He didn't have any people that he didn't care about. He loved all of them. Some people said, well, good. Are you kidding me? You're going to want us to take the gospel to the world? You want to take it outside of the Jews to everybody else? The answer is yes. Let's go to John, the 16th chapter, verses 5 through 11. And let's gather a little more understanding. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I say unto you, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Now, they had spent times with him. They had spent many times listening to him, talking to him, listening to him, talk to them and explain to them the intricacies of life, the difficulties they would face. He had given them a comprehensive education. But like a lot of students, they didn't comprehend. Is it because their minds were on something else? Is it because their minds were on the physical and not the spiritual that they missed the point? That the Holy Spirit was going to come. But they did have a very important human characteristic. They were going to miss their friend. When he said, you are filled with grief because I've said these things, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Really? They were probably thinking, wait a minute. We now have come to the realization that you are indeed God. You're not just a man. You have tremendous power. You have the authority to do things. And you're going to leave us? Perhaps they said, what are we going to do? Well, he answered. He said, but very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. I'm going to leave. He said further, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, are they willing to listen? Are they to be more contented? The comforter is going to come. He's going to help them. He's going to enable them to do what they were not able to do before. He's going to enable them to be empowered, to go out and make disciples, because that's what he called them for in the first place. They left their various professions and they came to him. He says, unless I go, he will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Various scriptures point out that at this point, a tremendous transformation had occurred with the disciples. Before that, there was a time when they were jealous. Remember, some were talking about, well, now, wait a minute. One group apparently had told their mom. And their mom had said, you know, may my son sit on your right hand? They were concerned about positions and all of this. Now they put this stuff behind them. They were now obedient. After the powerful instructions from Jesus Christ, they were now obedient. They were now unified. And so, just like God told them, they went to that upper room in Jerusalem and waited. He told them to wait. Now they are willing to be patient. And they waited. Day one, day two, day three, day four, five. Some authors say they waited 10 days or 8 days after Christ had gone back to heaven. They went there and they waited. They waited, anticipating the return of Christ. One great composer, and you're going to hear the music as they play it for you, decided that they probably started saying, you know, send the Holy Spirit. Have the Holy Spirit comes. That, ladies and gentlemen, was a momentous event. That was a very important event that was going to come. And the author, the composer of this song, said, this is what they probably said. Come on, Holy Spirit. The song is called, Holy Spirit, Come Down. And they were willing to wait. Whereas before, the Bible tells us, Luke, the writer, said, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Notice I said there was now a unity between them. They had obeyed God. They had obeyed Christ when he told them to go there. And so they went and they waited. They were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. They saw. And the author tried to picture what the Bible said in the next slide. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, other tongues. The Bible says other tongues, and as the Spirit enabled them. And a tremendous thing happened. Though the people there, you notice that this group of people were not just Jews. There were other people there too. It talks about in other places from the Bible that there were other places there. And everybody comprehended what was being said. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if a bilingual person like our young lady who speaks Chinese suddenly came and started speaking to all of us and everybody in here understood what she was saying? That's what happened. And then they were amazed at what happened. The day of Pentecost was indeed a momentous event. What I've just given you was a prelude to that day. And now, a very fine young lady, I had the pleasure to watch grow from a little lady, little young cheerleader who jumped high, yelled, screamed, cheered the basketball team on, moved from that stage to a loving, caring mom and now grandmother. For the comprehensive view of what happens on the day of Pentecost and what the disciples and what we today ought to do, Please stay tuned for the pride and joy of Walter Burton, Mrs. Vanessa Burton.
Let me ask you a question again. If we had to let go of Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, Pentecost, which would seem most likely to you? Which would not be that important to you? Christmas, no Maundy Thursday / Good Friday. But many Christians, because of cultural and societal requirements, couldn't imagine Easter or Christmas falling by the wayside. Because there are so many things that we do. We prepare, we decorate, we get ready. You couldn't understand why we couldn't celebrate those. But let's talk about Pentecost. Because how many people really talk about Pentecost? We do. But outside of our walls, how many people really understand what Pentecost is? It enables the gift of faith by which you and I know that the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is sure. Jesus was not finished when he rose from the dead and ascended to be glorified. He came back to us to give us the greatest gift of all. He gave us the gift of his own Spirit, the most powerful Holy Spirit, which now lives within us. And it is with this excitement that I talk about Pentecost. The Jews celebrated Pentecost, and the disciples were there as well. So let's find out what they were doing and why they were celebrating Pentecost. First, they had the harvest of fields. They had an ingathering of crops and everything that they brought in, and they were celebrating that exceedingly because they were so thankful what God had done for them. And it started their harvest season for the rest of the year. They were celebrating because of the Exodus. They were remembering that God delivered them from the nation of Israel, from Egypt, from that bondage, and that's in Deuteronomy 16 and 12. The people were to thank God for the day he delivered them out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of slavery. And the third reason, they were given the law from the Mount Sinai on Pentecost. They were really sure that when Moses went up to the mountain, he received the law on Pentecost. So they were celebrating that as well, knowing that God gave them those laws to govern their lives, to govern their nation. They were supposed to be God's people on earth that would live the way that he wanted them to live. But of course, human nature. So this was the community that the disciples were a part of. Every male within a 20-mile radius was required to attend the Feast of Pentecost. And when the disciples arrived, they knew that Jesus wanted them to go to this particular place, go into the upper room, and wait. They waited, as Mr. Dumas said. They waited. They waited for about 8 to 10 days. So when the Holy Spirit finally arrived, it stunned them. It was the most momentous event, a watershed event. And I have a video that I would like for you to see, Douglas, if you're ready. Can you imagine? Say you were in that room and you were waiting for the Holy Spirit and it came around you as fire on you, and you're talking in different languages and you're understanding everything that everybody else is saying. The wind that's blowing, that mighty wind that's blowing. But we also have the crowd that was outside. They were being buffeted and turned around and turned upside down by that wind as well. So they wanted to know what was going on because all that babbling sounded like they were drunk in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day. Have you ever taken a class, a language class, that you struggled with, French, Spanish, Italian? Have you ever taken a class? I took Spanish. I took 4 semesters of Spanish. Lord, help me. Out of 4 semesters of Spanish, I received 1 C. And that was from a wonderful woman. A wonderful woman who helped me because her mother was taking Spanish and she saw the mother struggling, so she gave me the C. Everybody else gave me a D. I didn't care. I just said, thank you, Jesus. I passed the class. Okay. But they were babbling, and they were babbling different languages. That should have been the most amazing thing in the world, to speak in language that you have never, ever spoken before. But look, Jesus waited. Jesus came down, and for 40 days, he was doing his stuff. And then he told them to go to this room, and he had to convince them that he had actually risen. And so once they saw all of this going on, now they were ready. Now they were ready to go out and do what Jesus wanted them to do. So Peter had to go out to this crowd because this crowd was like, hey, what are you guys doing in this room? So he had to go to this crowd and talk to them and let them know that they were not drunk and they were not babbling. And he reached into the Old Testament and brought a prophecy out from Joel 2, 28 to 38. And he says that God is going to pour out his spirit on flesh. At that particular point in time, all the people that were taken care of by the Holy Spirit were basically priests, kings, and prophets. So when he brought it into the New Testament, he says, I'm going to pour my flesh out on all of my people. And it says, I will pour my spirit on the flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And my servants and my maidservants, I will pour my spirit out on those days. It didn't matter if you were ragged. It didn't matter if you were rich. It didn't matter if you were schooled, unschooled. It didn't matter if you were black or brown, female, male, young, old. It didn't matter. Jesus Christ was pouring out his spirit on us. He gave us the ability to be with him, to love him, because he wrote everything on our hearts. So from that particular time, Jesus no longer went into the Old Testament to write on stone. He came to us and he put everything on our hearts. Amen. Pentecost is important because it gives us the gift of faith by which we can know for sure that the death and birth, death and resurrection of Jesus is real. And the power of the Holy Spirit allows us to pluck the strings of worship, ushering in the new covenant. So now we can pluck the strings of worship and praise, and we can thank God for the New Testament, that we no longer have a priest that we have to go to. We have the high priest. We no longer have to kill a bull. We no longer have to kill anything. We can go to this high priest. And God has also made us priests as well. So we can go to one another and say, please help me. Be with me. Be with me. So, in conclusion, Pentecost is important because it is the gift that we can know that Christmas, Easter, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is sure. Amen. His birth and his death and his resurrection are real. And as we can see, Jesus wasn't finished. When he came back here, he gave us his Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's Pentecost. 50 days, 7 weeks from Passover to late May, early June. 7 weeks, that's what God has done for us. He changed our lives. So, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. So, in closing, dear great and heavenly Father, we come to you, great God, thanking you so much for what you've done. Giving us your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, knowing, great God, that we can all receive it. All we have to do is ask. I come to you, Father, thanking you so much, asking Heavenly Father that you equip us, that you help us get out of these walls, great God, and talk to somebody, tell somebody about you. I thank you, great God, so, so much for what you have done. And I come to you thanking you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen, and amen.